The power struggle in my own family paled in comparison to what was happening within the FLDS. A power struggle that had been brewing for several years broke out into the open in 1978 when I was in the fifth grade. By the time I was in the seventh grade, families were choosing sides, and the community was so deeply polarized that we were not allowed to play with our friends if their parents were on the opposing side. Are you on the side of Uncle Roy, or are you on the side of the brethren? That was the question. And what was at stake was who would rule the community when Uncle Roy died. It was a power struggle, pure and simple. My father was on the side that believed that only the prophet should have ultimate power in the FLDS. In a nutshell, it was called the one-man rule. Uncle Roy had several stepsons who were the children of the former prophet, John Y. Barlow. Their power was underscored by the fact that they were the nephews of Uncle Fred Jessup, who as bishop was in charge of daily life in the community. Because of their ties to the two men at the top, the stepsons had usurped some of the power and authority of the apostles in the FLDS. Apostles were men chosen by God and ordained by the prophet. At one time in the FLDS, apostles, as well as the prophet, had the power to arrange marriages. They were deeply involved in formulating community policy and were seen as worthy to receive revelations from God, just as the prophet did. The prophet was more powerful. He was the de facto God over the community, but he shared some of his power with the apostles. If the stepsons could consolidate all power around Uncle Roy, then the apostles would be nearly stripped of their power in the community. Since Uncle Roy had become sick and bedridden, there was jockeying among those who wanted to succeed him. The rupture was so severe in the community that my mother stopped speaking to her sister because she was married to one of the apostles. I was cut off from my friends, which upset me. Otherwise, I believed what I was told, that the brethren were trying to destroy Uncle Roy and take away all of his power. My family was growing rapidly because Mother and Rosie were both having babies nearly every year and a half. Rosie had a full-time job, so my mother was left in charge of all the children. She depended on Linda, Annette, and me to help take care of our siblings. It seemed like we were babysitting all the time. But one Saturday night when Linda and I were about 13 and 14, we were given permission to go to a community dance. Neither Mother nor Rosie could go with us, so we were just dropped off at school. At the east of the auditorium was a section for the young unmarried ladies. We always sat there because it was next to the unmarried boys section. Linda and I were walking around toward the back of the school, which was the entrance closest to the girls section. Just as we approached, the doors flew open, unleashing a stampede of girls. "Run for your lives," they screamed. I did not need convincing and started running with them until the stampede stopped near the south auditorium entrance. "Oh, yuck," I heard someone say. "He got Laura." Another voice chimed in. "She wasn't paying attention when the signal was given, so she was the only one left in our section for him to pick." Laura was a red-headed friend of mine from childhood. I felt sad for her. I listened to the girls explain how an elderly man who was looking for an additional wife kept coming to the young ladies' section to shop around. None of the young girls ever wanted to dance with an old man. It was frowned upon for a girl to dance more than one dance with a young boy. She also could refuse to dance with a young man if she had no interest. But a girl could never refuse the attentions of an older or even elderly man. This was considered to be one of the most disrespectful things one of us could do. These were the rules of engagement. But there was no rule against a stampede. So when someone saw an elderly man heading toward our section, she gave a signal and all the girls ran out the door. If a girl was distracted or not paying attention, she could find herself left behind. That was what happened to Laura. We all felt so sorry for her, but thankfully she didn't have to marry that old man. The dances made it possible for us to talk about our feelings in a way we might not have been able to otherwise. One day in eighth grade, several of the girls were talking about the danger we faced in the future. One of my closest friends said, "As soon as you graduate from high school, you are going to be assigned to an old man and you will have to marry him." Another girl said, Every one of us is doomed. We are all going to have to marry an old man who is so ancient that we'll be forced to take care of him.